Our scripture reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 5. Listen for God's word. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart. And the shackles he broke into pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was on the hillside a great herd of swine that were feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swine herds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. The very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he sent him away, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I've been struck over the last year by our use of the word normal. "I can't wait until we get back to normal," I hear people say. In one sense, I understand. The pandemic has put us in such a heightened state of fear, anxiety, and tension that nothing truly feels normal about life. On the other hand, I can't help but ask, what if normal, at least before the pandemic, didn't really allow us to welcome all the parts of ourselves? I wonder sometimes how we bought into the idea that normal people put on a brave face. Normal people hold it together. Normal people don't need to worry about their mental health needs. Or normal people don't talk about their feelings, their ups and downs, their joys and concerns. I can't tell you the number of times over the last year I have heard people say, "I have felt down, I have felt anxious, I have felt depressed." And I'm only now realizing, they would say, that during this pandemic, that it's normal to feel that way and talk about it. If that's what normal is, I can't wait to get back to normal, because we all have mental health needs, and normal is when we let the fullness of who we are be present in us and around us. It's when we welcome the fullness of who we are and talk about it that we become truly human. Fred Rogers put it this way: "Anything that's human is mentionable, and anything that is mentionable can be manageable." When we talk about our feelings, they become less overwhelming, less upsetting, and less scary. The people we trust with that important talk can help us know that we are not alone. That's why we're talking about mental health today, because it's human to do so. Because mental health becomes manageable when we mention it. Because we're called to lessen what is overwhelming, upsetting, and scary in this life, and to remind people that we are not alone. I'd like to invite you to listen now to the testimonies of Jen Burns, Eric Kreuter, and Tamsin Levine. They serve on our mental health ministry team. Each has a story to tell about mentioning mental health and the power of doing so. Listen for the humanity in their stories, what happens when they talk about their feelings and the ways they discover God's presence and community.
Good morning. We are here today to talk about acceptance and compassion, both things that can lead to good mental health, looking to follow the example of Jesus, which is twofold. Not only did he help others, but he also suffered himself. The Bible is not silent on mental health. The Gospels tell how Jesus helped people with both physical and psychological ailments. Mark 5:5 described a man that Jesus helped who day and night wandered around the tombs and through the hills, screaming and cutting himself with stones. Luke 22:44 tells that as Jesus contemplated the cross, in great anguish, he prayed even more fervently. In 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul writes, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself." Problems with mental health are neurological. They involve the brain. Problems with any system of the body can sometimes be fleeting and in some cases be more chronic. This includes mental illness. This should not be a topic we can't talk about openly. Our team is hoping for outcomes as simple as showing concern for someone's loved one, accepting people for who they are, or guiding a neurodiverse teenager to a school social worker when they need help and don't know where to turn. Because I'm open to the topic of mental illness, people have shared stories with me, and I have shared stories with them. I've found that almost every time I tell a personal story involving a loved one's struggle, I hear, "Me too, my daughter, my nephew." This is where healing begins. Keeping it all inside only makes it more difficult for people than it already is. The first time I ever visited someone in the psych ward, I didn't know what to expect. I wasn't aware there were so many rules. I learned quickly that for safety reasons, I couldn't bring in anything with laces. I couldn't bring a razor or even fast food. I also didn't know what the procedures would be once I got inside. I was directed up an elevator only to find a tiny waiting area with just lockers, cameras, and a speaker with a button to press. I was reading the posters on the wall when the elevator opened behind me, and a woman stepped into the same small room as me. I must have looked nervous because she asked me if it was my first time visiting someone there. Yes, it was. I felt like a kid on my first day of preschool. This kind lady then proceeded to explain to me how a staff member would come out and give me a locker key and tell me all the things I had to leave behind, what it would be like when I went through the next door, and how long I would be allowed to stay. She showed me compassion, acceptance, and understanding. She eased my pain and enabled me to better comfort the person I was there to visit. God sometimes puts the right people in the right place at the right time. All she did was talk to me. So now I want to carry that forward and talk to you, share my experiences, and help put you at ease if you have a similar situation, the way a stranger did for me.
For the past 18 months, I have been involved with St. Christopher's Inn as a counselor, helping addicted men with substance use disorder. As a faith-based organization, there are opportunities for the men to renew or discover their spirituality. Being a helper to them deepens my own faith as I see the difference it makes when the addict turns their life over to their higher power. Addiction to substances, for many, is a symptom of deeper mental health issues, such as depression, anxiety, and trauma. My role is first to listen to the men, to understand where they are in their lives, then to care for them through kindness, listening, therapeutic guidance, and love. Even when they are unable to love themselves, I can show them they matter and are worthy of love and respect. In such a client-centered service role, I can rely on Christ as the model of loving everyone, walking away from no one, and take care of these suffering beings who have not been successful taking care of themselves. To do this work, I rely on my own trust in God and the power of transformation to heal. This is done by setting structured boundaries in a consistently supportive environment. I have witnessed God's healing touch on addicts who have reached new awareness of who they were, who they are, and who they aspire to be. Change can and does happen. While many addicts relapse and some die, families are torn apart, others are saved to return to their lives and become productive members of society. Some were homeless, others were imprisoned, some will return to prison after they complete the program at St. Christopher's, but they are led to accept what they cannot change, change what they can, and seek the wisdom to know the difference. This is from the Serenity Prayer written by the American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr. In Peter 1, 5:10, it is written, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." It is through expression of caring that the sufferer feels accepted. From acceptance comes openness to new ideas. With openness, change becomes possible. From possibility, lives are altered. Altered lives can be lasting. In this, I have unswerving faith. I wish to thank this congregation for providing me inspiration to inspire these men. This work is but one example of how our mental health ministry extends support to people in many places, near and far. I ask you to keep the men of St. Christopher's and all those suffering from any form of mental health in prayer, and that they seek clarity of mind towards healing one day at a time. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Tamsin, one of your newest members here at First Presbyterian Church of Yorktown, though not new to faith in Jesus. After 25 years at my former church, one of the things that drew me to you was the Mental Health Initiative Ministry. The idea of purposefully reaching out to one another and our community at large with resources, comfort, or just a listening ear resonated with me, as if this was a work I'd been created and called for. In my earliest years, I sought out religion as a way of finding surrogates for some emotional needs that were lacking in my life. Not that I wasn't truly loved by my family, but the strife of an unhappy marriage bled a bit into the environment in which my brother and I were raised. Yet those modest beginnings of my Christian faith remind me that even when we're not seeking the Lord, he reveals himself by meeting our needs. Truly, my salvation story began with an invitation to dinner, where I was presented with Sloppy Joe's and the gospel of Jesus. I've struggled on some level with anxiety, depression, and self-esteem issues for most of my life. But one of the precious truths I have learned over the years is that God is ever present on my journey. He doesn't just show up when I join a Christian committee or do good works for other people. He wraps his arms around me when I retreat to bed. When I question if I could ever truly please the Lord, he makes deer appear along the side of the road as I'm driving, a long-standing sign of his assurance to me. And at my darkest moments, he has physically stepped in, lifting me from a prostrate position onto solid ground beneath my shaking feet. For me, one of the most beautiful ways that God ministers is through words. I'm a writer by nature, if not by trade, fluent in the love language of affirming words, and quick to hear the Lord speak to my heart when it's through scripture. I find hope for my struggles with panic attacks when I recall Job chapter 36, verse 16, which says, "He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice foods." We all struggle. What jaws of distress is the Lord wooing you from? And how does it feel in your place of freedom? I feel his presence wash over me anew every time I meditate on Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verses 8 through 9a. 60 queens there may be, and 80 concubines, and virgins beyond number. But my dove, my perfect one, is unique, the only daughter of her mother. That's me. I'm the only daughter of my mother. So that must be me too, a unique and perfect dove. I didn't just need these verses once. They're lifelines I draw on every time I stumble into wrong thinking about myself. I don't want to merely cope with depression. I long for my own resilience to lead others to a way of thriving beyond their own limitations. Which brings me to another point. Did you know that no matter what internal struggles you wrestle with, there are others wrestling quietly too? It is one of the most blatant falsehoods that if we are sick, broken, or simply confused, we should disconnect from others. Can you imagine how much easier it would be to find wholeness if we had others to support us? Can you entertain the idea that maybe who you are is a blessing others are waiting to receive? I know, I struggle with that too. But I'm trying to stay present and engaged in the moment. May these be the take-home points from my words. God reveals himself by meeting our physical and emotional needs. He wants to be on your journey to wholeness, especially in your brokenness. And you are a gift and an asset to the world, and always to the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jen, Eric, and Tamsin, for your testimonies. You help us hear our scripture reading from the Gospel of Mark today. As Jesus was getting out of a boat, a man met him whom others had deemed not normal. Whatever spirit controlled him, people didn't want him around normal people. They made him live among tombs and even tried to chain him down so that he couldn't come back to town where normal people live. They were frightened by him, by the things he did to himself, and perhaps by how he made them feel. He may not have been safe, but they made it worse by forcing him out of their lives and to fend for himself. Jesus, however, created a different space for him. He talked with him. He asked the man's name and learned that a legion of things tormented him. The power of what Jesus did was so profound that the people from the town found the man in a different space, sitting still, dressed, and in his right mind. And all the people could do as they looked at the man was turn to Jesus and ask him to leave. Somehow they were more bothered by this man being made whole than changing their definition of normal so that others feel human too. The journey we are on as pilgrims is one that creates space for others and lets where they are be normal. It's in that space together where we learn how to love ourselves and love other people. We may not heal them the way Jesus did in our story today, but we offer them the central piece of good news that we know in Jesus Christ. in the midst of your humanity, in the midst of your mental health needs, you are not alone. Amen.